apologize to everybody. I jinxed Rich Hill. Intentionally. I really wanted to see what my jinxing powers were on Twitter. And about, I think, one pitch later, goodbye perfect game. Then I jinxed a no-hitter. So my bad. Sorry, folks. What's up, Scott?
It's not all about you, Adam. You don't have that much power.
I'm pretty good at this. I don't remember who it was I jinxed last time, but I've been really good at this. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, put it all on you. That's fine.
It's a thing.
That's fine. Be the martyr. That's fine.
Today, we'll talk Rich Hill. I don't know how much there is to talk about, but we'll talk about him. We'll talk Reese's Pieces, Reese Hoskins, and how good he's been. Luke Weaver crushed it. Yes, huge start from him, and he's lined up. Hopefully he'll make two starts next week. We got a lot to get to. How fun was the Al Melchior hour yesterday?
It was the funnest hour of the season.
It was great. I don't know about that. That's a little insulting. I think we've done some really good shows, but it was great. Today will be also great. Okay, let me just preview what else is coming up on the show. Zach Britton news, Greg Holland news. Did I count out Kyle Schwarber too soon? Kevin Kiermaier double-donged yesterday. Another save for Sam Dyson. And I do want to talk about shortstop because, my goodness, the position's actually looking pretty solid right now. And emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com for sure emails. Scott, you're going to talk in your waiver wire column, or you already have, about
It's up. It's actually up.
Brad Brock is one of the guys you wanted to talk about. What's going on with the Orioles?
Well, what's going on is you may have heard about Zach Britton blowing a save the other day. It ended a pretty impressive streak of converted saves that he was on. But he actually hasn't been that impressive since his latest stint on the DL for a forearm injury. He's gone on twice this year with the same injury and hasn't looked great either time since returning. Most recently, 20 appearances since his return, 4.96 ERA, 1.71 WHIP, 6.6 strikeouts per nine innings. Something is wrong, clearly, with Zach Britton. And now he's going to have an MRI today, though not for the forearm elbow injury, for his knee, which has supposedly been bothering him for years, but it must really be bothering him now. I'm still not sure his arm is okay, frankly, but one way or another, I think it's probable he winds up on the DL, and we've already seen what Brad Brock can do in the closer role. He's pretty good.
Okay, yeah, Brad Brock's definitely someone that you want to target. Would you rather have Brad Brock, Sam Dyson, or Mark Melancon right now?
I would, man. You know, I think Brock, actually, because that Giants situation appears to be pretty messy. I think last time we brought it up, I said any day now Melancon would be in the role. He's been good in, what, six appearances now since returning. But Bruce Bochy says he's fine just leaving him in the setup role for now. I would think that would have to change eventually
as much money as
they're paying Melancon, but I don't know how soon it's going to be.
Yeah, that's crazy. But Dyson got another save. He did give up a home run. He's been pretty good with the Giants. His strikeouts are terrible. Melancon's pitching well. But all right, so Brad Brock, look, we don't know that Britton's out. We don't know he's going on the DL.
Nope.
But something seems amiss there.
Seems like a good high upside gamble.
Sure. So what did you think of Rich Hill? This was pretty crazy because when I tweeted, you know, I was alerted in the eighth inning that he had a perfect game, and I tweeted, don't worry, guys, or something like, Rich Hill is definitely going to throw a perfect game here. But he couldn't even do it because they were tied in the bottom of the ninth, and they would have had to go to extra innings anyway. So that was crazy. Then the error on Logan Forsythe ruins that, but he keeps the no-hitter going through nine, and then first batter of the 10th inning, I tweeted something else. He'll definitely get the no-hitter, don't worry. And Josh Harrison hits the walk-off homer. And he only threw 99 pitches in this start, Rich Hill, in nine-plus innings. His previous six starts, he had pitched less than six innings in four of them. So people were a little frustrated with Hill. I dropped Rich Hill. I sat Rich Hill. You know, what do you recommend to Rich Hill owners?
Yeah, I was to the point, if I had the pitching depth, where in one start week, certainly in a points league, I was sitting him too. I think I sat him in the podcast league this week. So I understand
well, you really
that
did
frustration.
Because you're on a bye, so lucky
oh, okay.
You. Yeah.
I still set a lineup, even though it doesn't count for anything.
I love it. I love the commitment.
But I was encouraged to see that he is still capable of extending himself. Part of that was on him. He was so efficient in this start as pitchers who are throwing perfect games normally are. But part of it's, you know, a willingness from Dave Roberts. Last year, Rich Hill had a no-hitter. I think it was through 7 innings, and Roberts removed him because of all the concerns over the blister. So he's willing to stick with him into the 10th inning this time. And I was reading this morning, he was open to the 11th inning, too, if Hill got through this one. So clearly there is a greater level of confidence from his manager now. And if you just look at the ratio stats, stop worrying about the innings so much. 2.38 ERA over his last 11 starts, 87 strikeouts and 68 innings. Great whip, too. I think we probably should stop playing around with Rich Hill and just start him because, I mean, innings are a concern for most pitchers these days.
Yeah, he was 78% started. For a pitcher of Rich Hill's caliber, that's pretty low. And if you sat him, you lose! You shouldn't have done it, but you know what? I get it. I understand. It was frustrating. Felix Hernandez threw the last perfect game. That was back in 2012. Since then, Yu Darvish, Yusmeiro Petit, and Max Scherzer have been within one out of a perfect game, and they have not gotten it. That's very strange.
Wow. Never come up with Yusmeiro Petit. If I had 300 guesses, I would not have come up with him as one of the three names for that list.
Yeah, very strange. All right, let's talk about Reese's Pieces. Now, for Rich Hill, my headline was King of the Hill. For Rhys Hoskins, it's Reese's Pieces. These are terrible team names. These are terrible names for segments. So I can't really think of anything better for Rhys Hoskins, though. But Reese's Pieces just doesn't make any sense. It's not like he's injured.
Did you see my team name for Rhys Hoskins? It was kind of a two-player team name, a double dip, other night.
No, what was it?
Well, I announced when he hit another home run, since that's what he does, of course. I called it a Hosk Dong.
Oh, yeah.
Which then got me thinking, Hosk Dongs and Hannigers.
Yeah. It's such a stretch that it's like almost Yasmani Money Tomas problems, but it's fine. It's fine.
When you say it, what else does it, like, it's clear what you're referring to when
Hosk
you say
Dongs
it. I guess it looks weird written out, but.
I guess, but shouldn't it be Hannigers and Hosk Dogs?
I always called it hot dogs and hamburgers. I don't know. I don't know how you folks up north refer to it during your barbecues and rather than cookouts. Oh, I don't know what that's about either.
Cookouts.
Barbecue has sauce, okay?
It's cookouts
is just going out and grilling.
Cookouts implies like 40 to 50 people.
It's the size of the shindig.
In
your world.
I'm having a cookout. That means like the whole block is invited. Let me ask you.
You're cooking outside.
That's barbecue. Who would you drop for Rhys Hoskins? Would you drop Ryan Braun, who is not even a top 50 outfielder over the last 28 days, despite hitting .318, by the way, but only one homer and 7 RBIs in a month? Would you drop Braun for Hoskins?
Part of me feels like Hoskins will outscore Ryan Braun the rest of the way. I am fully on board with this. I mean, look, he's hit 6 home runs in the span of a week and a half, and obviously he can't hit 6 home runs every week and a half going forward, but Hoskins is really good and needs to be owned, probably started. I don't know that I could justify dropping Braun. There's got to be somebody worse on your team, right?
Well, Thames. Let's drop Thames for Hoskins.
I could do that, yeah. I might need to move. I was actually working on those two in my rankings yesterday, decided to keep Thames ahead, but I think with this latest game, another home run, double, 5 RBI, yeah, it's time to go ahead and move Hoskins ahead.
And Thames did something interesting yesterday. He sat. So, yeah,
I think... That's not interesting at all.
No, it's interesting in the rankings in that he's going to sit against lefties from time to time. I mean,
okay.
He's not even an everyday player.
I guess if you put it that way.
Yeah.
I spend most of my life sitting, so it's not interesting to me.
I don't appreciate this whole, like, standing phase that you got to stand now, apparently. It's healthy. I don't know. Whatever. Logan Morrison. Drop him for Rhys Hoskins.
Yes, I would do that.
How about Ryan Zimmerman?
Man, I don't think so.
Okay. Give you one more. Let me go to an outfielder. I'm looking at first baseman. An outfielder to drop for Rhys Hoskins. How about How about Corey Dickerson?
Yeah, I think I'd be willing to do that. He's been... I had the numbers written down yesterday, but he's been ice cold for like a month now. Batting average is down to like 280. So that seems fair.
Couple two-hit games in a row for him, but only one extra base hit for Dickerson in that stretch. But boy, yeah, before that, terrible. All right, Scott, so look, Hoskins 67% owned. Try to get him on your team. Plate discipline's been outstanding, and he's doing great. Wednesday standouts. Let me start with Luke Weaver, 47% owned. In three starts, he now has a 2.95 ERA with 23 strikeouts to five walks and 18 and a third. Now, a lot of that was yesterday, seven scoreless against the Padres with 10 strikeouts, one walk, three hits. Luke Weaver he was great. And is he a must-own at 47% owned, Luke Weaver?
Pretty close. No, you wrote down 12 swinging strikes in the notes. I saw 10. It looks like Baseball Reference has 10 for that. I don't know.
Baseball Reference and ESPN need to get
Never agree.
They need to call each other and define a swinging strike.
It seems like an easy thing to keep track of, right?
They're almost
like anybody
never
watching a game can just keep tally marks of how many swings and misses a pitcher gets.
It's ridiculous. And ESPN, I feel like, is always like one or two more than Baseball Reference. And I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. Just get on the same page. This should not be hard.
Well, I normally go with Baseball Reference, so for consistency's sake, I'm going to cite its 10 number. And for a 10 strikeout performance, 10 swinging strikes isn't that great. Plus, it was against the Padres. But I do think it'd be unfair to call it a fluky performance, because his last start in the majors, August 2nd, he had 14 swinging strikes, which resulted in 8 strikeouts and 6 and a third innings at Milwaukee. So I think between that and the fact he has a sub-2 ERA in the minors over the last 2 years, yeah, Luke Weaver looks like a really good pitcher. And I think if his next outing Tuesday is anything like these last two have been, you know, there was obviously a minor league stint in between, but his last two major league starts were both great. I think the Cardinals are going to be making excuses to keep Adam Wainwright on the DL.
Sure.
And so I don't worry. I think it's basically in Weaver's hands. He performs, he's in. Yeah, I want to take flyer on him everywhere.
I don't know that you can count on him making two starts next week. He's right now scheduled for Milwaukee and the Giants, both on the road. Scott just told you what Weaver did against Milwaukee in his previous start, which is very good. And the Giants, obviously, is a great matchup. I mean, even if he's a one-start guy, Weaver's interesting. And if he pitches well on Tuesday, you'd think he would make that second start. But he's 40. Now he's up to 49% owned. Luke Weaver, I'm excited about. Are you excited about adding Mark Leiter? Finally, hey, there you go. Mark Leiter with a nice start. 7 scoreless against the Marlins. Only one hit.
Yeah, it was definitely encouraging to see. But mostly in contrast to that last outing when we had some excitement. There was some excitement going in because of the great long relief appearances he had leading up to it, and he mustered just one strikeout in more than 5 innings. The swinging strikes in this start weren't good. I mean, even the strikeouts, just 5 in 7 innings. It was a fine start, but it wasn't a start that's making me rush out to pick him up.
All right, and he's only 6% old Mark Leiter. Any other standouts for you yesterday, Mr. White?
Yes, there were more standouts for me yesterday. I want to talk about the Cardinals bullpen.
Oh, yeah,
I may.
Sure, yeah.
The Cardinals, we don't know who their closer is. I had assumed it was Sonwano. We know now Trevor Rosenthal is out for the season. He's having Tommy John surgery. Oh had been better since moving to a setup role, and obviously was the intended closer coming in. But with it wasn't quite a save situation. It was either 4 or 5 run lead.
Yesterday,
O came in.
5-0 game in the 8th inning.
He came in to relieve Weaver in the 8th.
Yeah,
like
he hadn't
normally
pitched in 5 days, so it's possible they were just trying to get him work.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's also worth noting he was terrible, didn't record a single out.
It is worth noting.
Tyler Lyons had to bail him out, and Tyler Lyons seemed like maybe he was the fallback option to O, and he was pitching the 8th inning too. Maybe just a high leverage situation, we don't know. But what we do know is John Brebbia, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's B-R-E-B-B-I-A. Mm-hmm. John Brebbia. He was held out until the 9th inning. And even allowing a solo home run in the 9th, he has a 2.23 ERA in 36 and a third innings, a .77 whip, which at its face seems unsustainable. But in the minors this year, he had a .79 whip. Guy throws a ton of strikes. He throws hard. I think if they don't want to mess with O and put themselves in the position they were in when they had to turn to Rosenthal in the first place, they might go with this guy. It would be better than the left-hander Lyons. In theory, you want to keep the left-hander more flexible. So, at least in deeper leagues, leagues where saves are scarce. I'm going for Brock first, but John Brebbia is definitely on my radar.
I'm going to guess it's Brebbia, but we should try to figure that out. Okay, fair enough. Now, staying in the bullpen, Greg Holland. Last six appearances, 10 hits and 12 runs and 6 walks, 4 strikeouts, 3 homers allowed. So Holland's been a mess. His first 42 appearances, he had a 1.56 ERA. He cut his index finger on August 2nd or 3rd, and his next two appearances were scoreless, but then since then he has struggled. I haven't read anything to indicate that that's part of it, but it seems a little bit coincidental to me, or you know, maybe it isn't a coincidence. I'm not quite sure how to use that word properly.
No, I don't know that it is a coincidence.
Yeah, but Bud Black is saying that he's going to keep Holland in the closer's role, but if there's a change there, who would you go for?
I'd go for Jake McGee, even though I just finished saying it's better to keep the left-hander flexible. They also have Pat Neshek, of course. They have Adam Ottavino, who hasn't had a very good year. But there are a few different options they could go with. McGee, though, I think has the longer track record as a closer. I think he has the closer caliber stuff of that group, and he's had a pretty good year. But I feel pretty good about Holland's chances of bouncing back still. I hate this for him. His ERA is 3.77 now. In 6 appearances, it's gone from 1.56 to 3.77. So even if he does turn things around, it's not going to be a great ERA for a closer come the end of the season. But his velocity seems fine. It's just he's not getting the same break on the slider. And I think it's interesting that on the same night he has this continued meltdown, Edwin Diaz strikes out 3 and a 4-out save for the Mariners when he looked like he was going the same way as Greg Holland. And we've already seen Diaz bounce back from a similar rough patch this year. So I think it's partly a matter of the environment we're in this year where, you know, the juiced ball era or whatever, the line between dominating and just getting crushed is so thin. You have to be so fine with your pitches, and something is just a little off mechanically, maybe because of the cut on his finger, but I think he's going to be able to figure it out sooner than later.
You know, Scott, I talked to Max Scherzer 2 days ago, actually airing the interview today in the Fantasy Football Today podcast. I asked him about the balls being juiced. I said, are the balls juiced? And he said, you know what? I don't care. He said, I've given up a lot of home runs in the past. It's actually making me focus more. I was hoping for a yes or no. He sort of laughed it off and said, it doesn't really matter.
Well,
to
that's
me.
The answer he should give, because he can't care about it. He has to just go out and perform. But as analysts, we can care about it, and it can change our views on things. So, by the way, it does look like it's Brebbia.
Brebbia.
According to Baseball Reference pronunciation guide. So, John Brebbia.
I also asked him about Gio Gonzalez. I asked, not Brebbia, but Scherzer about Gio and what he's doing. And he said that being able to throw his curveball and his changeup for strikes more so this year, better this year, has been the difference for him. It's made his fastball play a lot better. And, Gio's pitching great. But that's been, according to Scherzer, that's been the big difference. It's actually a pretty interesting interview. I asked him, Heath asked him about advanced stats and what he uses and whatnot. That was an interesting answer as well. So if you listen to the Fantasy Football Today podcast about 55 minutes into the episode today, it's the last 13 or 14 minutes of the show. Check out Max Scherzer. All right, one more standout from yesterday, man. Adrian Beltre. Since he came off the DL on May 29th, he's the number 3 third baseman in points, number 5 in Roto. Beltre's 38 years old. He's batting .311 with 16 home runs in only 72 games. He hit 32 home runs in 153 games last year after combining for 37 home runs in his previous 2 seasons combined. So he's once again on like a 33-ish homer pace. Beltre has been amazing, and I'm a little surprised that he's been this good. Top 5 third baseman since coming off the DL.
Yeah, he's on the David Ortiz aging plan. I would love to see what Adrian Beltre's career numbers would look like if he hadn't spent 5 years of the prime of his career in the enormous Safeco field before they move in the fences, because he signed that big contract there after a monster year with the Dodgers, age 26 through 30. Adrian Beltre hit 266 with a 759 OPS, and he's still going to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's crazy. He might have 600 home runs if he didn't go there.
The only reason to me that he's an automatic Hall of Famer is the defense. I think he's a little.
No, he has 3,000 hits. Yeah, everybody in the Hall, 3,000 hits.
It doesn't mean they should. He's a little Rafael Palmeiro to me. More of a.
Oh, you're right. Not everybody who has 3,000 hits is in the Hall of Fame, because Rafael Palmeiro isn't. But
he's not. I thought he is. Oh, because of steroids, he isn't. Palmeiro is kind of an accumulator. Just he was never one of the best players in baseball, and I sort of feel that way about Beltre. Like he's got a better case than Palmeiro, in my opinion. Especially now that he's doing this at 38. I mean, this all counts. But I don't know how many. I feel like there's only been like one top five MVP season for Beltre. Maybe two. He doesn't scream
Hall of Fame. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but if that's what we were making the standard for Hall of Fame entry, it would be a very small Hall of Fame.
And I'm glad you said that, because I would have a lot fewer Hall of Famers than the Adam Azar Hall of Fame. And yeah, he has two seasons in his career with top five MVP finishes. But yeah,
career war? And I know that factors in defense, and you're saying, you know, that's a big...
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, but career war, I'm not going to be able to find it fast, I'm sorry, but it's very high. All right, Chipper Jones is an obvious Hall of Famer, right? He has an 85 career war. Beltre's 93.6.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah. Hey, you play a long time, you're going to get more war. So listen, y'all trust me. I know this is a bad segue saying something so controversial about Beltre, but you should trust me at this point. I'm cool. I know what I'm talking about. If you trust me, friends.
28th all time in war. Sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. You should go to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball right now to get three free meals with free shipping. Blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. I had some steak last night with mashed potatoes, with green beans, a great sauce, shallot. It was, of course, really good. I made it with my wife. And if you ever have a Blue Apron pizza, by the way, those are my absolute favorite. You're going to love them. So much variety on Blue Apron. Seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers. Creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. Vegetarian options, steaks, pastas. It's all less than $10 per person per meal. All easy to make, all delicious. I really love cooking now, and I love Blue Apron. I tell everyone who will listen, you gotta try Blue Apron and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. That's blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Give it a shot. I think you're really, really gonna like it. All right, this is from Gary. Email of the day is from Gary. Is it possible that Gary Sanchez's participation in the Home Run Derby affected Logan Morrison's swing? I love it.
I know.
I thought that was such a clever email. Very funny stuff. And that will be it for the email. For the big news today, Max Scherzer's not going to start tomorrow, but he's not far away, just a few days away from returning. Yu Darvish is going to start Sunday. Clayton Kershaw could be back next week. Jackie Bradley Jr. is on the DL, and the Red Sox acquired Rajay Davis. What do you think of that, Scott?
Bad news for Rajay Davis. I don't think he's going to play as much in the long run. Maybe get a chance to fill in here some for Bradley, but that doesn't sound like a long-term injury for Bradley anyway.
Carlos Correa is set to begin a rehab assignment today. Same with Ian Desmond. Travis Shaw fouled the ball off his foot. X-rays were negative. Robinson Cano is going to have an MRI on his hamstring. Kelvin Herrera will avoid the DL and could be back soon, and Evan Gattis should be back today. And I'm going to take this moment as the host of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast to complain about my podcast league team, which has Chris Bryant, Carlos Santana, Robinson Cano, and Kelvin Herrera. All those guys on one stinking team in the playoffs right now.
Active, right, in your lineup?
Active in my lineup, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
All got hurt during the week, not going into the week. Absolutely sucks.
It's a good thing we do two-week playoffs in this league.
No, it doesn't matter.
It matters. You have a chance to catch up still, even if those guys don't return.
Well, get well soon. Here are some weird stats. The Cardinals batters were hit by a pitch 5 times yesterday, most in team history. Jordan Zimmermann is the first Detroit pitcher to give up 7 or more earned runs in 3 straight starts since 1935. That's according to Jason Beck, Tigers beat writer for MLB.com. And the Jays and Rays game in Tampa Bay, it drew 8,264 fans. Scott White's had more than that at cookouts. That is the lowest attendance figure for the Rays since 2006. And please listen to me, Tampa Bay, City of Tampa. Do not build another stadium. Do not waste taxpayer money on it. They don't care about baseball there. We've seen it in Miami. The new stadium will help for 1 season, and then nobody's going to care. Don't do it. It's not a baseball town. Move the team. It's 8,000 people, and they're still in the wild card race? That's pathetic.
Do you know how many Rays fans are listening right now?
That's the point.
They hate you.
I don't care. Move the team. Like, they don't support the team. Go to the games. It's ridiculous. Okay. Let's go to the Addometer.
They are in a playoff race and drawing less than 10,000 fans. That's pretty sad.
It's pathetic. Year after year. Year after year. We see the same thing with the Marlins.
Bad years you can kind of understand, but it's not a great place to go to a game.
It doesn't seem like it.
No, I mean, not just the venue itself, but getting there is...
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just things are not going to change with a new stadium. They might get better, but they're not going to be great. All right, here's the Addometer, 0 to 10, Kyle Schwarber. He's already 80% owned, but now he's batting .321 with a .441 on base, 2 homers in his last 8 games. Did I give up on Schwarber too early? If he were out there on your waiver wire, where would Schwarber be on the Addometer?
I'm not interested in adding him, really. Not yet. I think I'd go for Rosario over him. It's just not enough to make up for all the terrible we've seen from Schwarber so far. And there's also the threat of him not playing every day. I just don't think it's enough. It's too little and potentially too late.
Kevin Kiermaier, 37% owned since coming off the DL. He's 10-for-21 in 5 games with 3 home runs.
Kiermaier. Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, look, he runs a bit too, which is especially valuable in today's landscape. So, you know, a little bit of power, a little speed. I think he might be somebody to get active again in a roto league, at least.
Kiermaier or Delino to Shields?
I mean, if you strictly need speed, I think DeShields could deliver you a lot more stolen bases in a short period of time. But I think Kiermaier's the better all-around player.
Kiermaier or Cameron Maben?
Man, I'm going to go Kiermaier there.
How about Mitch Haniger, 45% owned, 5 games since coming off the DL, just like Kevin Kiermaier. Haniger's only batting .263, not .500 like Kiermaier, but he does have 2 doubles. A home run, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. He's been all right. 45% on Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, he's been all right. Hasn't really been. I got excited that first game when he homered and I think doubled. Had 2 hits anyway. And I was thinking, okay, some time off. Got his swing right. Because after that first DL stint, he just was horrible. Hit about .150. But it hasn't been hot enough to convince me that he's over those issues. Strikeouts have been an issue, even when he was going well in April. So I'm not rushing to add Haniger yet either, though he's probably must-own in a 5-outfielder league.
Haniger or Matt Adams?
Haniger.
Haniger or Granderson?
Haniger.
Ooh.
Now you're looking at part-time players, those other two.
Granderson? You think he sits against lefties?
I think he's going to sit against lefties when the Dodgers get around to playing one.
All right. Yeah, at some point. All right, that's the Addometer. We've talked about the bullpen. I want to talk about shortstops, all right? Because, I think that you probably owe Didi Gregorius an apology for not having him in your top 12. You have him
13th. He's in my top 12 now.
I saw him as 13th.
Close enough. Probably depends what format you're looking in.
I had him 13th in points. So, but then I saw the list and I said, you know what? Like, who are we going to put ahead? Who are we going to put Didi Gregorius ahead of?
Now, exactly.
Chris Taylor is recently shortstop eligible.
Yep.
Xander Bogaerts is 12th. I personally would take Didi over Bogaerts at this point. I think there's something wrong with Bogaerts. I think he's hurt.
That's fair. That's fair. I already moved him down about four spots to get him to 12th, and I wasn't ready to completely yank him down in one swift motion. But
if
maybe next time.
If Didi Gregorius, who's having a really good year, and since beginning his season April 28th, he started on the DL. He's the number six shortstop in points, number four in Roto. If he's not a no doubt about it top 10 guy, it means that shortstop is actually not that bad right now, and it's only going to get better when Josh Donaldson makes his appearance and becomes shortstop eligible. He didn't do it yesterday. But like Eduardo Nunez is 14 for you. Paul DeJong is 17. Marwin Gonzalez is 15. We're going to get Correa and Trey Turner back imminently. It's a good position right now. It's weird. At least if you're in a 12-team league.
It shortstop isn't so bad compared to usual shortstop standards. It's still, every position is deep basically in this hitter landscape. Shortstop may be closer to second base than we've given it credit for. Segura, I have 10th at second base in points leagues, and I have him 11th at shortstop in points leagues, which doesn't tell the whole story, but there aren't a lot of standouts at second base. There are probably more at shortstop. Second base may be a little deeper when you get to the fringe players, but yeah, shortstop is good. I don't think in a standard-sized league there should be anybody who's just resorting to Brandon Crawford or somebody like that.
Right. Unfortunately, I'm resorting to Trevor Story in the podcast league, but I am the Correa owner. Story, he's not so good, but yeah, it's not terrible, and we will get two of the best back, and then we will add Josh Donaldson. So in like a week and a half, we're going to have potentially Machado, Turner, Correa, and Josh Donaldson as shortstops, and that will be a really, really good top four. That's crazy. And then, of course, you've got Lindor and Andrews and blah, blah, blah. Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman's been great. Andrelton Simmons keeping it up. At least Simmons snapped an 0-for-17 skid recently, but he also steals bases. One thing that Didi doesn't do is steal bases. A lot of the guys that are shortstop eligible are good base stealers. Some are great base stealers. Didi has two steals, I think, this year. That does hold him back a little bit. But I haven't even mentioned Corey Seager.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Manny Machado. Have you seen how much ground Manny Machado's made up?
Yeah, it's insane. But, okay, let's think about this. Machado, Seager, Donaldson, Turner, Correa. That's five shortstops and possibly the top 10 to 15 hitters. Is there any position that claims that many? First base?
First base, definitely. Third base. I mean, two of those guys are third basemen also.
Right? Yeah.
And probably outfield. Well, I mean, they can't all be top. They can't all have five top 15 hitters, I guess. But
these guys might be top 10.
I think it's probably a stretch to say Donaldson's top 15 hitter at this point.
Maybe.
And look, Seager isn't either. If you don't give him credit for playing shortstop.
Okay. All right, I got carried away. Let's read some emails here. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. These are mostly rankings emails. The first one comes from Christian in St. Louis. He says, hey, what's up, Morty, Rick, and Summer? So I'm told that Rick and Morty is the funniest show on TV.
Seems to be popular, yes.
I don't like it. I've seen 10 minutes and didn't like it. I need to give it another try.
I've never tried, so couldn't even tell you what it airs on.
Christian, I think it's Cartoon Network. Christian's question is, I'm making my playoff push. 10-team points league, pick two to keep. Carlos Rodon, John Gray, Jay Happ, and Chase Anderson.
To keep as in?
This year, just this
for
year.
Okay, for down the stretch.
Rodon, Gray, Happ, Anderson.
Yeah, I'm going Rodon and Anderson.
Okay. Pick a SPARP, Danny Duffy or Luis Castillo?
Duffy.
Okay. Marco and San Berdu, never heard of that. Dear Shane, Boyd Crowder, and Venus Van Dam. That's got to be wrestling, right? Nothing could feel more wrestling than that.
Venus Van Dam sounds familiar, but I don't know.
The question is, 16-team head-to-head points league that does not penalize for strikeouts. I need a guy for the playoffs with starch in 2 weeks. Who you like in this group? Trevor Story, Nicky Delmonico, Cesar Hernandez, Michael Franco, Matt Davidson, Yoan Moncada, and he puts Cesar Hernandez again. Story, Delmonico, Cesar Hernandez, Franco, Matt Davidson, Moncada. Who's your favorite?
Doesn't penalize for strikeouts in a points league. It's not something I think about often. I think I'm going to go Story here. Maybe Franco. None of them are great.
No. Not Moncada?
No.
Okay, I'm an idiot, by the way.
He might be my last choice. I might go Matt Davidson over him.
Shane, Boyd Crowder, and Venus Van Dam are all the same. Walton Goggins, the Shield. I don't know what Boyd Crowder's from, but Sons of Anarchy is Venus Van Dam. It's Shane from the Shield.
Oh, maybe...
Justified, I think, is Boyd Crowder.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Walton Goggins, good actor.
Yep.
Next question is from Charles in Chicago. Dear Brittany, Christina, Jessica, and Mandy. I don't get the Walton Goggins character, but the teen pop stars of the 90s, I got those. Some hitters are streakier than others. Is it worth holding on to Kendrys Morales or Lomo as bench options as they have a history of getting hot?
I think Lomo is worth holding on to, sure. He's had a much better year than Morales, and this has really been the only time he's been cold all year. I would think Lomo is pretty close to must-own. I did say earlier in the show I'd drop him for Hoskins, but hopefully you're not faced with quite that dilemma.
From Chris, 10-team head-to-head auction keeper league. Currently in first place, I'm looking at a great shot of winning our playoffs. Would you drop any of the following to pick up a Johnny Cueto, who is now available? Would you drop Charlie Morton, Denelson Lamet, Patrick Corbin, or Kyle Freeland?
Yes. Yeah. I would drop any of them. Freeland would be my first choice, Lamet my second choice.
Yeah, and Cueto is working his way back. Don't know how good he'll be, but it's worth the risk. Johnny T's in a 12-team head-to-head league. Should I drop Tim Beckham for DJ LeMahieu, Colton Wong, Wilmer Defoe, or Ahmed Rosario? Drop Beckham for LeMahieu, Colton Wong, Defoe, and Rosario.
Yeah, LeMahieu. Not sure why Beckham was owned over LeMahieu in the first place.
Because LeMahieu hasn't been good this year.
Oh, he's hitting like .315 now.
If you need batting average, that's all he gives you.
Well, is it all he gives you?
Yeah, because the last 2 years he had a good power year. He had a good steals year. He's
also on a 96 run pace.
I mean, well, that helps. Six steals, four home runs. Four home runs, six steals this year.
Yeah.
Yak.
He did say it was a head-to-head league.
I don't know if that means categories or points. He's going to be...
Yeah, I don't know either. If it's points, then, you know, he's getting enough points to be better than Beckham even before you factor in what he's doing categorically.
Yeah, he's actually the 13th best second baseman in points leagues, DJ LeMahieu. So it makes sense. Okay, next up, 14-team head-to-head categories league, Lucroy or Gattis? Gattis coming back today, by the way. Gattis.
I think since it's a categories league, yeah, you go Gattis for the power. He's not going to play nearly as much as Lucroy.
Well, are you sure? Because we haven't seen him with McCann on the DL.
Well, McCann's coming back soon, too.
Ah, psh, lame. Fine.
Yeah.
All right.
But still, Gattis for category purposes.
Here's an email from Chris. Am I crazy to drop Rafael Devers for Jorge Polanco? Four homers in a row. Four games in a row with a homer.
That is crazy. Stop being crazy.
Okay. Don't drop Devers for Polanco, Chris. Doug from Queens. Head-to-head categories league. I have a bye next week. I have an extra spot for a pitcher. Any thoughts on picking up Julio Teheran? Hoping for a strong finish from Teheran. Looks like he lines up at Philly. Home against Texas, home against Miami, at the Mets, home against Washington, and at the Mets. Teheran, or I could pick up Estrada, Clevenger, Giolito, or Snell.
I'd rather roll the dice on Snell after his last start. It's a great one. He's six straight, two walks or fewer, so seems to have cleared that hurdle, hopefully.
You'd rather have
Snell. A lot more upside than Teheran, I think is fair to say.
You'd rather have Snell than Estrada?
Yeah, though I probably would rather have Estrada than Teheran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't take
Snell most of all.
I guess one thing to keep in mind with AL East pitchers, specifically ones on the Rays, is that they are going to face the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Orioles down the stretch. I don't know how hard the Blue Jays and the Orioles are. I don't know how bad the Yankees are away from Yankee Stadium. And quite
and
frankly,
that matters. It matters. But you know how I feel about matchups relative to some of the other analysts out there.
Sure, but I mean, some of these guys, like maybe Snell won't be, but I feel like all of the guys, Snell, Estrada, Clevinger, Giolito, Tehran, they're all at right now matchup pitchers.
I think Snell could be more than that.
Yeah.
But yes, the others, I would agree.
Alfredo found Michael Brantley on the waiver wire. Who do I drop for Brantley? Luis Castillo, Colin McHugh, Kyle Hendricks, or John Gray?
I don't know that you need to drop anybody for Brantley because it doesn't look like he's close to a return. I think last I saw, he wasn't running yet. And he wasn't, it's not like he was a must-start player even before he got hurt. It just was, his skills weren't really measuring up in this offensive environment. So, okay, so he's resumed some baseball activities, but is still spending most of his time in a walking boot. Yeah, I don't think he's particularly close, and I'd rather not have to decide between these pitchers. Another couple weeks, Luis Castillo may be shut down, and he'd be the guy to drop, but I'd rather not drop anyone in the meantime.
Josiah from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. What's going on with Jose Ramirez? His second half has been dreadful. Would you drop Jose Ramirez for Simmons, Fowler, Granderson, Jorge Polanco, or Delino DeShields?
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't think there's anything especially wrong with Ramirez. It's been a bad month, yes, but show me a hitter who hasn't had a bad month, you know?
Mike Trout.
He missed a whole month.
Yeah, that was a bad
month. That
was
pretty bad.
That was a bad month.
You know, it's easy to just say, look at the splits page and say, okay, he's having a really bad second half, but the first 18 games he hit .284. It's really just been a bad 3 week stretch, basically.
Yeah, and the plate discipline's been pretty good still.
Yeah.
So I want, you know, it's just an interesting question. Who hasn't had a bad month? I feel like Goldschmidt has not had a bad month.
There are probably a handful of first round caliber hitters that haven't.
Yeah.
But then there are some that have. Anthony Rizzo got off to a really slow start. Manny Machado had several bad months.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Goldschmidt's been so good, man. All year long, 522 slugging, 602, 632, 513, and now 659 in August. All right, let's see what else we got here. I did want to make this a mailbag show, so we're getting through a lot. Oh, here's one last email, and then we'll hop back to yesterday's action. This one is from Shane in Dallas. Dear Jesse, Danny, and Joey.
That sounds like Full House.
Playing in a 10-team fantasy football league for the first time. Compare fantasy football to fantasy baseball. Wide receiver equals outfield, running back equals infield. Compare the positions.
Position-wise, you want to compare the two. Okay.
The easy one, and he actually wrote this in the email, Shane, tight end is catcher.
Yes. That makes sense. There are only a couple who really stand out, and everyone else kind of stinks on the same level.
Right.
I would compare relief pitchers to kickers. Because they're only valuable because of the role they fill.
That's what he said, actually. Relief pitcher to kicker.
Yeah.
Good call.
It isn't a totally fair comparison because in fantasy leagues, you only start one kicker. If you played in a fantasy league where you started two kickers, though, you would be really, or two or three kickers, like you do relief pitchers, you'd be really on top of who was filling that job for which respective team.
True. Let's quarterback, see. I think he wrote his quarterback starting pitcher. I think quarterback is outfield. Elite at the top, but still like very deep. Shouldn't have trouble filling out a starting, like a start, getting a starter at outfield.
Yeah, I'll even say first base might be.
Okay.
Because there's so many high score, like it's the highest scoring position, but there are so many of them that you don't give it the priority you'd think you'd give those high scoring players.
What about running backs?
Running backs.
Shortstop.
What was that?
Shortstop, second base.
Yeah, now that makes sense. A scarce infield position like shortstop. So, you know, you're going to pay a, more of a premium for the best ones mm-hmm. at the position. And then you're out of positions. That's really the biggest difference between fantasy football and fantasy baseball is heck of a lot more positions to fill in baseball. I think position scarcity is a bigger part of the game than in football. So, unfortunately, we have to leave some positions out.
Well, that was a pretty interesting email. I encourage you to listen to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. We're having a lot of fun. And we have a lot of podcasts, actually. If you go to cbssports.com/podcast, the 24/7 Sports College Football podcast is crushing it right now. The Pick 6 podcast is a lot of fun if you just want to talk some NFL. We've got In This Corner, which is very relevant right now. It's a boxing, MMA, wrestling podcast hosted by Brian Campbell, one of the best in the business. Nick Costos is on that. Adam Silverstein is on that. A lot of guests. There, Conor McGregor and Mayweather this weekend, they're going to be talking about that. SummerSlam, like, just very good podcast. CBSSports.com/podcast. Another thing to do is get our app, the CBS Sports app. The new version is the only sports app with box scores that show stats like OPS and OBP and WHIP and even fantasy points. So swipe right on the box score. I use the app every single day. Download the CBS Sports app at CBSSports.com/baseball. CBSSports.com/baseball. Here are your news and notes. Greg Bird and Starlin Castro are nearing returns. Not imminent, but probably next week. What are your expectations and interest, if any, in Greg Bird?
Pretty much non-existent. Leave him for the AL-only leagues. He needs to prove himself after the way he started the season, and there's just so many good first basemen out there.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought about that, though. I was talking about this with Heath. I think we were also talking about Greg Bird. Are there that many good first basemen? Because a lot of the ones that were really carrying that conversation aren't good anymore. Justin Bour is on the DL. Yonder Alonso is useless. Logan Morrison is useless right now. I'm serious.
I wouldn't call him useless. I want to call Mark Reynolds useless. But meanwhile, you have Rhys Hoskins coming in. You have Josh Bell joining the fray. Like, I would even say Yonhervis Solarte, who recently gained no, actually, he's been first base eligible for a while, but I'd rather have him than Greg Bird.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a lot of injuries, but he's had a pretty good year when he's healthy.
He's very whatever. Bird, you can't fairly judge him. He was playing hurt. He had surgery. I mean, I'm fine saying
right.
that you got to that he's got to prove
it.
I
just don't see a good enough reason to take the gamble.
That's
at
fine.
This point. You know, if he homers twice in his first four games or whatever, fine, I'll pick him up. I don't think there's going to be a lot of competition for him.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not convinced he's going to play against lefties either. So, Starlin Castro is 81% owned. Sometimes these guys who got injured, they get dropped. If you need a second baseman, 81% owned. Castro should be back pretty soon.
I'm surprised it's that high, actually, given the number of equivalent second basemen in the player pool.
Jason Kipnis is back on the DL. Steven Vogt hit a pinch hit home run yesterday. But since Vogt came off the DL, Manny Pena has made more starts than Vogt. I think that might be because they've seen two lefties and Vogt is left-handed. But he does have 1,100 OPS with Milwaukee, Steven Vogt, and he's 16% owned.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a strict lefty-righty thing. I don't suspect Vogt will play much more. Like, I see it kind of like the Tyler Flowers, Kurt Suzuki situation in Atlanta. And frankly, with the way he's performed this year, I'd rather have Suzuki.
Than who? Than Vogt?
Than Vogt.
Francisco Cervelli could be back today. Matt Carpenter sat with an illness. Carlos Santana could be back today. Salvador Perez is back, but you might not get as many at-bats as you once did. He's not going to be able to DH this year due to the intercostal strain. You might think that sounds weird. But apparently...
but he's going to catch.
Yeah, it's the whole, like, sitting idly during the game and then going up and hitting. They're concerned that would hurt.
So they need to work him harder.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. I feel that.
Alex Cobb's going to start today. We'll go through today's matchups. Lance McCullers is going to make a rehab start tomorrow. Let's talk about a couple of starting pitchers from yesterday who are owned in 93 and 96% of leagues, respectively. Zach Godley. Are you starting to get concerned about Godley? Last three starts have been not terrible, but kind of a little.
Kind of a Jimmy Nelson thing going on here.
And Drew Pomeranz, man. Drew Pomeranz, 3.18 ERA despite a 1.34 whip. I mentioned yesterday his strand rate, consistently great. around 80%. Godley or Pomerantz, who would you rather own?
I'd rather own Godley. I'm not terribly concerned. I'm a little disappointed. But it's mostly because two of the last three starts, he's given up four walks. If he had been more the one or two that he's been giving up most of the season, those starts would look a lot better. Even his bad starts have typically, he's made up for it partially by having a ton of strikeouts. You know, he only had five strikeouts in this one, but the start before, 10 strikeouts and 5 1/3, the start before, 8 strikeouts and 5 2/3. There's still a lot to like about Godley. I think if his record was 7-5 instead of 5-7, it wouldn't even be a question. He's kind of gotten burned with the win-loss record there this year. Pomeranz is fine, but I think we have a clearer idea what he is by now, and it's really not any more than fine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year was an all-star, and okay. I guess you could argue that when he's healthy, Pomeranz is really good. And 13 starts now, his last 13 starts, he's 7-0 with a 2.14 ERA.
The
whip is going to be high.
The innings have been an issue all season. You know, pitching for the Red Sox, he's not getting burned by win-loss record, but I don't feel like there's any rhyme or reason why he's what is his record?
13-4.
Yeah, well, he's 13-4 versus Godley's 5-7. The Diamondbacks are really good also. So I don't give Pomeranz credit for that over Godley.
Okay, but the Red Sox have the third best bullpen ERA in baseball. I mean, I don't know. I just, in the today's pitching landscape, I'm not sure that Drew Pomeranz is, to me, he's more than just fine. I don't even hesitate to start him.
Even in one start week?
I suppose if I had like a bunch of two start pitchers that I really liked, but no, I think that Pomeranz has earned must start status at this point. And you don't because of the innings and the whip?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm never like afraid to start him. I just never excited to start him either.
Fringy starting pitchers. Are these guys owned in too many, too few leagues? Mike Fiers is 70% owned. Good start last night. Matt Moore, 3 good starts in a row. R.A. Dickey, Moore's 48% owned. R.A. Dickey's 35% owned. Edwin Jackson, 57% owned. We already talked about Luke Weaver. He needs to be more owned. He's 49% owned. And Mike Montgomery, good start yesterday for the Cubbies, and he's 28% owned.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone under-owned? Fiers, Moore, R.A. Dickey, Edwin Jackson, Mike Montgomery, under-owned or over-owned?
Under-owned or over-owned? Well, Jackson probably won't be 57% owned for long, just because I don't think he's very good. Weaver's my favorite of this group, so he needs to be much more owned, of course. You know, Dickey at 35, maybe a little under-owned, but I don't really think he's mixed league material. I think Moore is about where he needs to be, 48. Montgomery, if he was going to stay in the rotation, I'd want him to be picking him up now, but Lester might be back after just another turn. I think Fiers at 70%. He is the one who's actually most owned of this group, so it's hard to call him under-owned, but I do think I was a little too quick to write him off when he had that 4-start rough patch, because his last 2 starts have been good, and he was great for like the dozen starts before that.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeouts have remained high, and obviously a great supporting cast. So at the very least, I'll say he shouldn't be less owned than 70%.
Yeah, he's now 71% owned, and Fiers, all these guys I think are going to be 2-star pitchers next week. Fiers has Texas and the Mets next week, both at home. The Mets really should be a great matchup at this point, unless Dominic Smith and Ahmed Rosario start hitting, and they've been, you know, Smith homered yesterday, Rosario's been getting a little bit better. But yeah, their lineup stinks. So, Scott, in deeper leagues, you like any of these guys? Chase Headley, since the All-Star break, he's got, let's see, 893 OPS, Chase Headley. Luis Valbuena has 5 homers in his last 7 games. Trevor Williams almost matched Rich Hill yesterday. Erasmo Ramirez, 4 earned runs in his last 3 starts. James Shields has been better lately since changing his arm angle. And we talked about Mark Leiter. Anyone that needs more love?
Not really. I am keeping an eye on James Shields since yeah, it coincides with a mechanical adjustment he made. And you know, they've basically been barely quality starts, but four in a row have been pretty good with high strikeout totals. And, you know, James Shields is only a couple years removed from being a must-start pitcher in fantasy. So I'm keeping an eye on that, not rushing to pick him up, but it's unexpected development. And then Leiter at 6%, keeping an eye on him too, though, as I said earlier, not in a hurry to pick him up either.
We've got, I think, 12 games today, and we are underway, actually, in New York, where the Diamondbacks face the Mets. There are four games at 1 or 110. We'll skip them. So let's do the others. Rockies at Royals. Scott's favorite player, Herman Marquez, at Jake Junis.
Is he my favorite player? Because I don't think that's true.
No, it's an exaggeration.
But I do like Marquez, and especially when he's away from Colorado. And I'm going to say the Royals are a pretty good matchup. Some might scoff at that, but I'm going to say they are. That so was, I would start Marquez, not Junis.
That was an octave I had never heard before, not starting Junis. Okay, this is a game worth watching, I think, if you want to do some scouting. The Dodgers are at the Pirates. Hyunjin Ryu and Chad Kuhl.
I'll take Ryu.
Jake Arrieta, Sal Romano.
I'll take Arrieta.
Chris Sale, Trevor Bauer.
Take Arrieta. I'll
take Jake.
Definitely
Sale and Bauer.
Sale.
Right.
Bauer's been so good lately, but it's the Red Sox. You know what? YOLO. I'm rolling the dice. Let's do it. Bauer.
Nice. Padres and Cardinals. Perdomo, Carlos Martinez.
Yes to Carmart. Obviously.
Are you going to start Jose Berrios tonight at the White Sox against Derek Holland?
Worked great for Irvin last night. Let's do it for Berrios.
Steven Strasburg at Dallas Keuchel, the matchup of the day.
Both sees.
Rangers at Angels. This is actually the matchup of the day. Martin Perez, ugh. Troy Scribner.
Ugh.
No thanks?
I don't have anything to add to that.
All right.
I think the guttural reactions say it all.
Troy Scribner made Sideshow Bob step on a rake. That's what I heard.
Really?
No, that's the sound you... you did the Sideshow Bob steps on a rake noise. All right, I got to get out of here before I get laryngitis. I am struggling right now. So for Scott White, I'm just going to whisper, I'm Adam Azer. See you later. Sorry.